Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we are broadcasting on this day and this time another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. I pray that you're tuned in with the purpose of listening and perhaps participating. You can participate in the dialogue and discussion each day on this broadcast by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. It is my desire to see you participate. And by the way, if you'd like to participate by asking other questions, theological, doctrinal, biblical, social, or that which sometimes is called political, then it's still a biblical worldview issue, and you're invited to join in the dialogue and the participation. You can do so if you'd rather not call in. Jot it down. You can dial, go on your computer and go to info, that's I-N-F-O, at conservative.edu. Info at conservative.edu. And simply jot down for us your question, your theological, doctrinal, political question, an issue that you'd like to have us aired on this broadcast and discuss openly. We'd be delighted to listen to your suggestions and follow them where possible. We're delighted that you're tuned in today, looking forward to this broadcast. And as we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus told his disciples that in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus made a declarative statement in relationship to the word of God. He said, thy word is truth in John 17, 17. God's word, the Bible, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word, is not just a source book to find truth. It is truth. It is the fundamental, foundational, and fountainhead of all truth. And so when we deal with issues on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And we do so, ladies and gentlemen, you might wonder sometimes, how do we determine subjects and themes and issues that we're going to discuss? I'm gravely and seriously interested in what is happening nationally, globally, and more particularly locally in the realm of our city and our state and our nation as to what's taking place. I like to look at issues based on what is happening and then view it under the prism and the light of the Scripture. What does the Scripture say in relationship to that particular issue or that particular difficulty, a problem that we're faced with in society? And I like to open it up on the basis of looking at not only what is happening, but what does God's Word say? What is the biblical resolution? What is the biblical solution? What is the biblical answer? Because after all, the Bible is the final authority on every issue that we're faced with in life. The Bible, the Word of God, gives us the answer, the resources, the strength, and the encouragement by faith to face the issue and see what God has for us. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about an issue that is fresh off the political page of the newspaper. I'm simply calling this broadcast, this issue, school-authorized child abuse. School-authorized child abuse. Yes, that's exactly what I'm calling it, is child abuse. Perhaps you're familiar with the walkout that took place nationally on Wednesday in our public schools. Some say 2,000 schools participated. Others say 2,500 schools. But nevertheless, it was a great number of students that participated across the nation and their schools allowing it to happen. And I call it child abuse. It is absolutely something that is contrary to what is scriptural and what ought to be done in our schools and what is mandated by our states and legislative issues in relationship to how school is supposed to be carried out and operated. Today's Florida Times Union, for example, the front page article said, "Enough is enough." That's the headline. And it's the story of the politically planned ploy and plot to use our nation's school students as puppets, to use them as useful mannequins, if you will, for the political agenda. Our students, our school, our kids, 10, 12, 14, 15, 16 years of age, with no worldview or understanding of what's really happening. They were used as pigeons, as mannequins, as, if you please, window dressing. The article reads further. They, speaking of the students, the children that attend school, railed, the article said they railed against the National Rifle Association and the politicians who support it. That's an article right out of the Florida Times Union, today's issue. It's the headlines. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the political demonstrations, the political use of our school students, the article reads further. Extended from Maine to Hawaii, end quote, as students were used for the political activism. Now, that's my word. They were used for political activism, all supposedly in protest to what happened in the Parkland, Florida school where 17 students were killed and some 10, 12, 14, 15 were injured. Some liberals call this, and by the way, I watched some of the media last evening as they were interviewing some of the advocates for this. And one advocate for it said, well, it wasn't a matter of taking away academics. It wasn't a matter of taking the students out of the academic setting. It was a simple matter of giving them a live, real civics educational process. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that philosophy and that theory. You see, students around the nation left their academic studies, of which taxpayers pay for, to participate in a political activist movement, all of which were not taking place organically. These school walkouts did not take place organically, did not take place by the volition and the understanding of the students that this will really put pressure on Washington, this will really put pressure on our state house and our legislators. It wasn't thought up by the students at all. It was a political activist ploy that was not organized organically, but in fact was orchestrated by the national leftist political agenda. In fact, I find it frightening when you understand. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to understand if this is political correctness gone awry, then simply ask the question. What if this had been a nationally organized political ploy by the conservative movement, by those that are conservatives? Let's just use some hypotheticals that wanted to have it as a nationally organized political endeavor to force schools to put the Bible back in the classroom, or to have prayer back in the classroom, or any other conservative issue that you'd like to name. What if it were on the basis of a nationally organized movement by the conservatives that want to say to our students that guns are okay, that we need to have guns in school, teachers need to have guns, teachers need to be trained to protect the students? What if it had been on that basis? Would it have gone forward? Absolutely, unequivocally, no. It would have been canceled summarily. It would not have been possible. And I find it egregious when across the nation we have the leftists, the Looney Tunes in politics that are participating. Here's an article that says Governor Andrew Cuomo took part in the die-in, that's D-I-E-I-N, the die-in to protest gun violence. The Democratic governor, dressed in a suit and tie, lay down on the pavement in Manhattan's park along with the American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten and students from Leadership in Public Service High School. Cuomo chanted, listen, the governor of New York chanted, gun control, gun control, gun control now, gun control, gun control, gun control now. So what in the world do you think this plot was about? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen, about having your children, your grandkids in the public schools? And I'm talking to those that are listening in our Northeast Florida listening area. Did you have students and from your home in the schools yesterday? Did you want them to participate? Did they have an option? What could they have done? What took place? Ladies and gentlemen, what did the students do that did not want to go out and participate in an openly political leftist agenda? What did they do? They had to just sit in the classroom and lose academic instructional time. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of American academic scenario is grim, to say the least. When it comes to things like math and sciences, the United States of America school system, our academic level, is the lowest on the totem pole on a global basis when it comes to real academics and abilities. This is the reason you find the charter school movement so rapidly taking over. This is the reason you find Christian parents homeschooling perhaps more than even back in the 60s when it became vogue for homeschooling for Christian students, for Christian parents to homeschool their students. In fact, there's a movement now, and I cannot call, does not come to mind, there's a movement now in America that's saying, let's take all of our students out of the public school system. Let's close down the public educational agenda and process that it takes place in what is called public school today. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and your parent or your grandparent and your child was subjected to this yesterday, I want you to understand something about the Supreme Court ruling on that issue. What does the Supreme Court say in relationship to whether this can take place and whether it is legitimate and right for it to take place? The Supreme Court has already ruled that students, listen, very important that you understand the concept here. The Supreme Court's already ruled that students do not lose their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse door, end quote. But further, listen, further, ladies and gentlemen, that Supreme Court ruling states, schools cannot abridge free speech as long as it doesn't disrupt classroom learning, end quote. You understand that? Let me read it again. The Supreme Court ruling has already stated that students do not lose their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse door. Furthermore, in the ruling continues, says schools cannot abridge free speech as long as it does not disrupt classroom learning. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest that across America yesterday, what took place in the American public school arena that was authorized by school superintendents and school leadership and the teachers' unions, by the way, that's a primary component of this political process. The school superintendents and the school teachers' unions that orchestrated this, may I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it was a violation of the ruling handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court in relationship to allowing the students to leave the academic classroom to participate in an openly unadulterated political process for the left-wing lunatics to have their way about trying to force gun control in America. And to the left-wing loonies, ladies and gentlemen, gun control simply means to abridge the Second Amendment right, to take away your right to defend yourself and your family, to remove the right. In fact, I listened to a legislator by way of video just this morning that said, and I believe I'm correct in making the statement, I'm going back from recollection. He said that some 8 million, I believe he said, or maybe it was 8,000, a major number of lives were saved as a result of the gun owner being able to defend himself and his family. You see, the right to keep and bear arms was given to us by God in the scripture. The right to, yes, you heard me right, the right to keep and bear arms, the original Second Amendment, if you please, is found in the Word of God, where God gives us the right to defend ourselves from the enemy. In fact, he told his disciples, if you've got two garments, sell one and get a sword. And I could go further, but the purpose of the broadcast is not to dwell on the Second Amendment right. But the Second Amendment was given to us by God, codified in the U.S. Constitution, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court to be carried out by the people, the citizens. But yet every time there's a murderous rampage based on an individual's hatred and his animus toward the situation that he may be faced with, as this Cruz character that killed 17 people in Parkland, Florida, the gun had nothing to do with it. Silence. The gun had nothing to do with it. The one that pulled the trigger had all to do with the murder of 17 students. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that every dictatorship across the world and around the globe If they take away the right to keep and bear arms, they control the citizens. As a result of that, mega millions in history have been slain, human beings murdered by dictators because the citizens had been disarmed. The Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer philosophy in America today is to disarm every citizen. They're not concerned about just long guns or automatic weapons. They're ultimately concerned about the ultimate goal of taking away your right to keep and bear arms. Therefore, may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this event that took place yesterday, and we're talking about the subject, ladies and gentlemen, school-authorized child abuse. School-authorized child abuse. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you're listening, you have a student. If you're a parent and you had students in school yesterday, I'd love to hear from you. What did you think about it? What did your student say when he came home? How did he react? Are you in favor of taking your student out of the academic process and casting them into the political ploy of the leftist to fill their brain with what I call mush that destroys their intellectual capability of truly understanding the scenario in which we're faced with in America? Therefore, as a result of this, some 2,000 or 2,500 schools allowed their students to go out of the classroom. It was supposed to be for 17 minutes. Hogwash, horse feathers. It wasn't 17 minutes. Most of them were out of the classroom all day. Some out of the classroom for hours. Some missed those classroom instructional times. And my question is, are the school superintendents going to require a makeup day? Will they require makeup day? If they're out because of inclement weather, they have to have a makeup day to make up the academic loss. Are they going to do that tomorrow? Are they going to do that before the school year's out? What do they intend to do about it? There's some questions that demand to be answered. That question number one, how did the classroom walkout allow students to go get out of academic training for the day? What was the process they used for that? What was the legitimate academic reason? What is the rationale behind it? Second question, since when do we allow taxpayer dollars for schools to be used for a political purpose? Since when does that become correct? Now, I ask our superintendent of schools here in Duval County. I want to know from her. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I tried to place a call to her this morning. I wanted to interview her by way of this broadcast. Dr. Willis, Dr. Patricia S. Willis. Dr. Willis is in charge of a $1.7 billion budget. She's in charge of 130,000 students in Duval County. She's in charge of 200 schools in Duval County. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you an excerpt from Dr. Willis's bio. Dr. Willis's spiritual and educational belief is that every child has the right to get a great education and has dedicated and committed her life to accomplishing this moral imperative of providing a high-quality classroom education for all children, all students. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patricia Willis's telephone number is 904-390-2115. I want you to blow her telephone up. When I use that term, I'm talking about by dialing the number. Call that number all day long. Ask her, how is it possible that she, in the position she's in, could allow this to take place in Duval County? Since when does it become politically correct to use our students in school that are supposed to be there for safe educational process? Since when is it legitimate to use them, to brainwash them, to put them out on the streets and allow them to be part of the ploy for the politically left? Dr. Patricia Willis, Superintendent of Schools, Duval County, telephone number 904-390-2115. Email address, Willis P, that's WILLISP, at DuvalSchools.org. Willis P, WILLISP, at DuvalSchools.org. Email her. Ask for an explanation. I'd love to have her defend her position that allowed this to take place in Duval County. Now, I understand it took place in other counties. It took place across the nation. But we are here in Duval County. We're here in Jacksonville. I want some explanation. I want some rationale behind brainwashing our kids in what I call school-authorized child abuse. School-authorized child abuse. You realize the scripture says in Psalms 127:3, children are an heritage of the Lord. Do we realize that God gives us children that we might teach them to love God with all of their heart, that we might teach them to honor Him and submit, surrender their lives unto Him? And we as parents, even as Christian parents, send them to school for the academic process, for them to be trained in what I call the reading, writing, and arithmetic. We send them to school to be trained in the math and the sciences and the histories and the English, and not to be used as clay pigeons to be brainwashed and put out on the streets to be ploys and plots for the political agenda. Proof of this school walkout, that it was purely political, is found in the organizers. Understand, this didn't just happen organically from the students deciding, gee whiz, we want to demonstrate. Gee whiz, mom and dad, we're going to be put out in the streets and we're on the sidewalks and out in the public arena so that we can become targets in some fashion because we are so concerned about the Parkland student killings that took place. No. It didn't happen on that basis. It was politically organized. Those that organized this national event, those who used kids and children as play toys, if you will, placed the children and youth in the emotional fears of the students to push for gun control. Literally, an attempt to force our legislators to ban guns in America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing less than child endangerment. It's nothing less than child abuse. Had this been done in a Christian school, had this ploy, this plot been done in a Christian organization or with a conservative organization, it would never have been allowed to take place in one county, much less on a national basis. So who are the organizers of this school walkout? Oh, let me tell you who it was. You wouldn't think this, by the way. It's the Women's March organizers. They're the ones that planned this national walkout to protest guns. And let me just read you an article from the Women's March organizers, what they had to say in relationship to it. It's reported to CNN. Women's March organizers are encouraging students, teachers, and their allies to walk out of schools on March the 14th to protest guns. They're demanding that Congress take legislative action on gun control in the wake of last week's deadly shooting in Florida. Gun control is what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about protecting kids. It's not about doing what our governor and others across the nation and our legislators have said, that we need to harden the targets so that schools are no longer sitting ducks, that schools are no longer gun-free zones, that we need to have bulletproof glass, we need to have automatic door locks, we need to have safety police officers there to prevent it from happening, and if necessary, even my opinion is, put a sign out in schools, in front of schools, this is not a gun-free zone. As long as churches and schools are viewed as sitting ducks, as gun-free zones, we'll see the proliferation of this kind of shooting in churches and in schools. This event further, the Women's March organizers, by the way, says this event is the brainchild of Empower, Empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, which is the Women's March youth branch. You remember the Women's March, I'm sure. The Women's March that took place where they wore pink knit hats and caps, the Women's March of January 2017, where one of the speech, one of the speakers said she wanted to blow up the White House. She wanted to kill President Trump. Yes, that's the kind of mindset that organized this. This is the brainwashing gobbledygook that was placed in these kids' heads across America. This is what the purpose was of this organized march, organized demonstration that used our students in the schools, used them as literally mannequins, as clay pigeons to be put out on the line, some that are 10 years old, 12, 14 years old, that had no understanding of what's taking place other than the fact they wanted to get out of the classroom, perhaps. The students were used as clay puppets to cause sympathy and to try to force and to try to push the infringement of our Second Amendment rights. Literally, that's all it's about. That's all it was. It was a planned political movement from the left. And the organizers are the most disdainful, the most despiteful, the most ridiculous, the most onerous group of human beings that I believe you could find in any organized movement. You say, preacher, that sounds pretty harsh. It's absolutely truth. And I'm concerned about it, ladies and gentlemen, because my Bible says that we are to teach the children. Listen, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen, verse 7 of the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads have the responsibility of constantly, continually teaching and training our sons and our daughters and our grandkids the Word of God. They are given to us as a heritage of the Lord. And so to allow them to be used in the hands of the plotting political agenda on the left is frightening. Listen to what this Women's March movement and the portion that is dedicated to the youth branch division. By the way, when it talks about the youth branch, I'm reminded of Hitler, the brown shirts. When Adolf Hitler in 1933 and following, when Adolf Hitler was in control of Germany, when Adolf Hitler used the youth brigade to do all of his bidding, that the nation of Germany was sold a bill of goods because the youth were standing behind Adolf Hitler. I call it nothing less, nothing more, and nothing different than that. It was planned as a movement, and the organizers said these are their demands. These were the demands of the organizers. In writing, they said to ban assault weapons. Well, any weapon could be considered an assault weapon depending on the finger of that's on the trigger. Secondly, they said to require universal background checks. Ladies and gentlemen, we have that today. 80,000 people in 2017 attempted to get a weapon that were felons, and they did nothing. They should have been prosecuted. Out of the 80,000 felons that did not pass a background check, that failed it, only 44 were prosecuted. We have a breakdown in government and carrying out the laws that's already on the books. And secondly, listen, these organizers said to pass gun violence restraining orders that would allow the courts to disarm people who may show signs of violent behavior. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in violation of our Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights in our Constitution. You can't take a gun away from a human being until they've been adjudicated in a court of law that they have mental incapacity and cannot handle owning a gun. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very dangerous. It is a dangerous move. And so again, I urge you, I encourage you, I challenge you to call our superintendent of schools. The superintendent of schools is Patricia Willis. Her telephone number is 390. Patricia Willis, superintendent of schools, Duval County, 390-2115. Email address is willisp, W-I-L-L-I-S-P, at duvalschools.org. Email her, call her. We want to know why this was allowed in Duval County with taxpayers' dollars to use our students with taxpayers' dollars as simply clay pigeons, as political agenda, with a political agenda to use them as a ploy and a plot to take away guns from Americans. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to joining you once again on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.